Unreliable socioeconomic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face. Join our reporters in the news magazine program News Extra, a one-hour news production intended to uncover striking societal concerns and demystify them. Get the deepest understanding about your economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra.
Hello there, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson, welcoming you to another edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio, FM 100 Bamenda in Cameroon. News Extra is news, interviews, commentaries, and analysis. It is a weekly magazine program you can't afford to miss, so stay tuned. Anglophone union leaders reject meetings in Yaoundé. Name Fame Ndongo prime enemy. Akere Muna condemns police brutality, supports common law lawyers. Supreme Court judge champions calls for boycott of women's AFCON. Prime Minister Yang reneges at Tanganyika, recognizes Anglophone problem but strikes continues. To foil lawyers, teachers, synergy, government appoints committee. That is the image of Cameroon, a perpetually united country that has been literally hosting the continent of Africa within the framework of the Female Africa Cup of Nations AFCON 2016. And as our August guests visit the newsstands to get a feel of their host country, they should be shocked, scared, and frightened, even more so from the frightening images of excessive brutality from our forces of law and order that now flood the social media. Yes, the clouds are dark and the atmosphere filthy. Government is simply playing the ostrich by constantly putting this issue of an Anglophone problem under the carpet, either by banishing cosmetic solutions or by preferring to deal and treat with sycophantic bootlickers claiming to represent this very embittered people. No, it is a country on its knees. Strikes in Yaoundé, strikes in Douala, Boya, Bamenda, threats of strikes everywhere. Yet, some who think they are more Cameroonian than others would rather sit and laugh at the despair of compatriots. They have failed to learn from history. Our people always win and win the world. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. We start by reminding ourselves of some of the main news events, both at the regional, national, and international level in News Extra's Week in Retrospect, monitored this week by Priscilla Ninge.
Beginning the week, Anglophone teachers and parents, trade unions, also gave government Wednesday, November 30, to meet a number of preconditions for them to suspend the ongoing strike action in Cameroon. This week, Tissot, members and senators of the SDF party who took to the streets in the city of Bamenda to demand an explanation for the ongoing protests in Bamenda by common law lawyers and teachers. The city of Bamenda was to benefit in 2017 with the coming of a new cleaning company, Izakam. This was one of the major outcomes of the last 2016 session of the Bamenda City Council. Bamenda joined the rest of the world in commemorating World AIDS Day 2016 under the theme, Let's Put Our Hands Together to Combat HIV/AIDS. Still in relation to the strike action in Bamenda, the supporter of Mancho BBC, Benjamin Che, who was arrested following protests, was released by the forces of law and order. Female councillors, civil society organizations, and media representatives were called upon to champion a campaign to raise awareness on the effects of gender-based violence in a community and also to fight against it. This was during a training workshop organized by Interfaith Vision to commemorate the day of the 2016 campaign to stop violence against women. On the national scene, the president of Senegal, Macky Sall, was in Cameroon for the first time on November 28 to discuss development plans as well as review diplomatic relations between the two countries. The Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Kavayega Jibril, granted him audience. The government of the United States of America condemned the excess brutality of the government of Cameroon, and this was in relation to the handling of recent protests in the northwest and southwest regions of the country. France donated tactical vehicles to the Cameroonian armed forces engaged in the fight against Boko Haram, while delegates from the 25 member states of the Inter-African Coffee Organization met in Yaoundé in the 4th African Coffee Symposium. Out of Cameroon, a car bomb killed at least 11 people and injured 16 others in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu. Police in Western Uganda arrested the king of Rwenzururu over clashes between police and militia, and this led to the death of over 55 people. Opposition parties in India called for a nationwide protest against the government's recent ban on high-value banknotes. Rwanda opened formal investigations into 20 French officials who are suspected of being involved in the 1994 Rwanda genocide. And over in South Africa, the governing ANC party rejected a bid to oust the scandal-hit president Jacob Zuma. The mayors of four of the world's major cities said they were to ban the use of all diesel-powered cars and lorries by 2025. The United Nations warned that hundreds of thousands of people are at risk of starving to death in northeast Nigeria because of the Boko Haram insurgency and crisis. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump announced he will leave his business empire to focus on the presidency to avoid perceived conflicts of interest. In sport this week, a plane carrying 72 people, including Brazilian football team, crashed near the city of Medellin in Colombia. Those were some of the main points that made news this week.
Thank you very much, Priscilla Ninge. Government has set up a commission to look into the worries of the defenders of Anglo-Saxon education in Cameroon. This was one of the preconditions of trade unionists for the ongoing strike action to be suspended. Also, as requested by the teachers, Higher Education Minister Jacques Famondongo was replaced at the head of that commission by the special advisor at the Prime Minister's office, Paul Gogomo Mingo. And as the public was anxious that the strike may be lifted, union leaders meeting at the Bamenda Church Center on Friday, December 2nd, opted to continue with the strike indefinitely. I now read in its entirety the reasons as outlined in a press release that sanctioned the whole day of conclave. The letter is addressed to the Prime Minister and Head of Government, Your Excellency. The letter starts, "We, a response to the Prime Ministerial order and press release on Anglophone teachers' concerns. After a joint meeting of all Anglophone teacher unions which held today in Bamenda, we forward herewith our response to the Prime Ministerial Decree number 125 CAB/PM of 29 November 2016 and your press release dated 30 November 2016, which we received through the Governor of the Northwest Region on 1st December 2016. First of all, the unions are grateful for your response in the aforementioned documents following the discussions we had from the 25th to the 26th of November 2016 in Bamenda on the plethora of issues which have plagued Anglophone education in Cameroon in the last 5 decades. We would like to note that in the spirit of the discussion, you did 1. Create the institutional framework, 2. Announce that the sum of 2 billion francs CFA has been allocated as special subvention to lay private and denominational schools in Cameroon, and 3. Authorize special recruitment of 1,000 young bilingual Cameroonians who have higher education diplomas in scientific and technical subjects. However, the 2 documents raise very important questions which we need to be clarified. A. The Prime Minister order does not specify the period within which the ad hoc committee is expected to run as we agreed in Bamenda. B. It does not make allowance for representatives of the unions in the secretariat of the ad hoc committee who would ensure that what is agreed on is actually what is transcribed. C. The press release is not legally binding on the government and may constitute another promise with no mechanism of enforcement. D. No legal framework is cited to justify the special allocation of 2 billion francs for lay private and denominational schools. Neither is the timeline for implementation specified. Besides, it does not show explicitly what Anglophone schools within the stated categories will benefit. E. The recruitment of young bilingual Cameroonians raises a polemic which could give birth to more problems of exclusion of Anglophones in the near future, because no such thing exists as bilingual teachers of science and technology subjects in Cameroon. This coinage could potentially deprive Anglophones of Northwest and Southwest origin of the opportunity to make up for the deficit of maths, physics, chemistry, biology and engineering teachers resulting from opaque admission procedures into higher technical teacher training colleges. Your Excellency, it continues, we are reading the letter in reply to the government's decision to respond to the Anglophone teachers' problem and the teachers' union made in Bamenda and send this memo to the Prime Minister. Your Excellency, the teacher unions would like to add that as we waited for the Prime Minister to implement the points agreed at the Bamenda conference, the governor of the Southwest region, Mr. Bernard Okala Bilai, and the vice chancellor of the University of Boya, Dr. Nalova Lyonga, were complicit to a plan to sabotage the talks by brutally quelling a peaceful student demonstration on Monday, 28 November 2016. It must be pointed out that these 2 government officials have since retired, and the humiliating treatment they caused to be meted on defenseless students and the arbitrary incarceration which followed show just how everything Anglophone in Cameroon is treated differently. The unions took a very strong exception to the conduct of the officials and demand 1. That the colonial rule of Governor Okala Bilai, who retired more than 3 years ago, be terminated forthwith. That the tenure of Dr. Nalova Lyonga, who retired 10 months ago, be terminated forthwith. That all students still in detention be released immediately and their well-being assured. That the campus of the University of Boya be demilitarized immediately. An open investigation be carried out and sanctions meted out to those responsible for the carnage in Moliko. In the meantime, the indefinite strike action, which started on November 21st, 2016, will continue until satisfactory answers are given to all the issues raised or identified so far. Nevertheless, the ad hoc committee can get to work next week while waiting for these clarifications to be made. The document was done in Bamenda on the 2nd of December 2016 and was signed by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Anglophone Teachers Trade Unions. Well, you got it all from that communique. It may be evident that the latest presidential orders for the recruitment of 1,000 bilingual teachers and 2 billion France CFA to subsidize the expenses of denominational lay and private educational institutions were taken under pressure. the president's decisions may be positive, but Christopher Fogwe seems convinced that the president needs to talk to the aggrieved Anglophones with a view to engaging them in a dialogue necessary to deal with a problem that will not be resolved overnight.
Why did it require strike action and peaceful demonstrations by the distinguished corps of common law lawyers? Why did the entire public, private, and denominational school systems of the former West Cameroon have to shut down for over a week? Why was it necessary to let loose the wild, rampaging state troops and armed forces to brutalize the peacefully demonstrating common law lawyers? Why were the students of the sole state Anglo-Saxon University of Boyer subjected to callous and despicable state terrorism? Why did it require the barrage of image-tarnishing disapprovals and condemnations of Cameroon in the international community and social media for President Paul Biya to respond to the legitimate groans and complaints of Cameroonians of former British Cameroon, whose only wish was to put a stop to the systematic attempts by the Biya regime to wipe out their constitutionally recognized Anglo-Saxon heritage? Why, up till now, has Mr. Biya refused to acknowledge that there is an Anglo-Saxon problem which is subjecting millions of Cameroonians to untold abuses, discrimination, and prejudice? Why has the president chosen not to pay heed to the objective assessment of the former United Nations Secretary General, Kofi Annan, who declared that there is indeed an Anglo-Saxon problem which can best be resolved through dialogue? Kofi Annan served his term honorably and headed home after handing over to Ban Ki-moon, whose term is just about running out also. But there has been no sign or gesture from Mr. Biya to give peace a chance by engaging the victims of the Anglophone problem in dialogue. At long last, the president has, under pressure, decided to allocate some billions for the recruitment of qualified bilingual teachers, as well as to subsidize the huge contributions private, denominational, and lay educational institutions have been making to Cameroon's educational system and development without the support they used to obtain from President Ahidjo of blessed memory. Anglophone Cameroonians still wish to know from the president himself how he would like the monies disbursed for that purpose to be spent, as well as to give a clear indication as to whether he is positioning himself with Prime Minister Yang or with the unholy trinity of Famine Dongo, Atanganji, and Issa Chiroma.
That was Christopher Fogwe. In the midst of a near stalemate between teacher, parents, union, and government, Prime Minister Philemon Yang spent a whole 2 days in Bamenda brokering with various stakeholders. One of those who met the Prime Minister was His Royal Highness the Fawn of Bafut Abumi II. At the end of the audience, Randy Joe Saa caught up with him and started by asking what the Prime Minister told him.
I think, as he told me, his coming here shows that he's taking the teachers' demands and lawyers' demands seriously and would want to talk with them frankly. So just to emphasize the importance of their demands, which is taking them very seriously.
But what concerns did the Prime Minister raise with you?
I think the most important issue, which I emphasized and he accepted, was that dialogue is very important. Violence is not important on both sides. And that is why he says he has come here for that dialogue, and he hopes he broker something serious.
Your Highness, many people don't seem to be very comfortable with the traditional rulers here. They say, you people say, the Anglophone problem doesn't exist.
It's
Is
a
that
lie.
True?
It's a lie. We met in the Bafut Palace, and we were very frank. We condemned secession and approved of dialogue and urged government to very seriously take the teachers' demands, the lawyers' demands, in a dialogue. And I'm very happy they are here. We are not against saying that the Anglophones don't have any problem. They have a problem.
And you are one of those Cameroonians promoting education. You even own a school. So how affected are you with this strike?
Yeah, I have a technical college. They call it Kotek Bafut. And I'm very aware of the problems the teachers are raising. And that's why I am telling you, the teachers' problems are genuine, because I'm part of the system in education from nursery, primary, and technical school. I own these schools, so I know their problems.
Are your children in school?
They are there. My children are there. And that's what we are saying, that the Prime Minister will dialogue seriously to see that these problems are solved. And he has promised very firmly to solve these problems. I'm very comfortable on leaving him.
One of the issues teachers are raising is the problem of Anglophone children not being able to continue into higher education as far as technical education is concerned. You own a technical school. How does this problem specifically affect the children you are sending out from your school?
I know since I opened Kotek 30 years ago, we had that problem when the students graduated. After high school, we don't just know where to send them, and the frustration was very high. We greeted a lot when the Higher Teachers Technical College was opened in Bambly and one in Kumba, and we believe that this is the area to absorb our kids after leaving high school. The teachers are complaining that they are not there. I've not had the statistics. And if it is true that they are not there, and then there's something wrong. Since I don't have the statistics, I can't say whether that is true or not. But we believe those schools were open to absorb our students from the technical colleges, of which I have one.
Von Abumbi, the second of Bafut, there talking to staff man Randy Josa. Social media use has risen sharply in Cameroon. It has become the voice of the voiceless to the distaste and chagrin of dictators who feel one of their major tools of suppression, that is, the gagging of freedom of expression, has been taken away by the social media. Social media is, however, inevitable, and the devil dictators especially would have to live with. Randibel Sato, in the following paper, sizes the role of the social media with inspiration from the recent protests in Anglophone Cameroon.
Because with the social media, everyone now is a journalist, and you really see yellow journalism functioning with the social media, where everybody wants to post and say anything, especially with the situation that we faced in the past 2 days.
The role of the social media in contemporary days cannot be overemphasized, especially in crisis situations. Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram are just some of the applications or outlets through which people receive and share information on social media. These social media apps have made it possible for people to share minute-by-minute information and updates across borders and continents. With the availability of stationary and mobile electronic gadgets like smartphones, which are now available to a greater percentage of the population, everyone is in the position to receive, react, and share information as fast as possible, most often without taking time to verify its authenticity. At first, it was the sole role of a journalist to collect, process and publish truthful, balanced and verifiable information. But today, that role is in fierce competition with the speed and intensity with which propaganda spreads through likes and shares. This claim is evident in the role the social media played during the November 21 and 22 uprising in the city of Bamenda. People in their homes and villages and even in the diaspora were able to follow live the way events unfolded from stage to stage. Calls and messages were easily sent across thousands of people through voice messages, releases and directives, with most ending with statements like "share to all your contacts" or "forwarded as received."
It is good because it informs a lot of people, because as for me, I have received a lot of messages and for example information about what is going on in the country, in Bamenda in particular, because when the strike, when they were about to, for example, the teachers were about to strike, I got the information from social media. So it is of advantage to me.
People in far locked up places or in the suburbs, they get to get information through the social media so fast, even more than our mainstream media organizations. I think like the Facebook, WhatsApp, people get to spread information so fast and information moves like wildfire.
In as much as the social media played a vital role in sharing information about the protest fast and easily, if not monitored or properly used, can cause more harm than good. Because of its feasibility, people can easily be misled or misinformed about what is actually true or trending.
The right way to be using a phone is to tell somebody what you want and what is correct. Not you cannot just come and stand here and be telling something, or you just snap something and send it to somebody when there's nothing there. So I don't like that way too, because it has caused more harm.
I got images of a fire incident that occurred in Douala sometimes back, and I got the picture of a building that was on fire. It was so surprising to me, and somebody said it is taking place in Bamenda, and I was asking where in Bamenda, and the question was hanging. No answer came forth. So you see, with the social media, so many lies have been coming up. But I think with the social media was created to facilitate the spread of information, not to destroy. But at the end, many people have been destroying, destabilizing government and minds of persons.
Well, the disadvantages about social media is, a lot of people are giving wrong information these days about the strike, because I've gotten about 5 or 6 voice notes on the social media about talking about people should go on street, people should not go to work, people should not go around, which is very wrong, because when you go, you see how the town is circulating, people are in town doing their normal businesses, and you see that if you follow what they send to you on the social media, you'll see that you always stay in the house, and you realize that the whole week will pass and you have not done anything. So for me, it is good and bad, because bad in the sense that wrong messages are coming and they give you wrong information, and good in the sense that you got some valuable information on the social media still, which is very, very informative.
Social media undoubtedly has an enormous potential to make and to mar, and must be handled with a lot of tact, caution and restraint. It offers the opportunity to reach many more people and immediately get their response and reaction, but at the same time equally opens one to misleading, false, hateful and disastrous information. With this, therefore, people should never instantly believe everything they receive or see, but first of all fact-check the source, the date, and think before sharing.
Let's now get the views of some other Cameroonians on the role of the social media.
The social media is like, it is playing a very significant role, because first of all the information is being disseminated through the social media. It's a very big tool. No matter what has been said or downplayed about the social media, The social media is a veritable tool for any fight, any situation that needs grassroots participation. But all the same, despite the fact that it is a channel through which leaders of whatever opinion can speak with their followers, there are some, sad to say, some cases, some individuals who use the social media for individualistic and in manners that cannot be for the general good. But if we were to be given percentage, I want to think that the part that the social media is playing in any sector of the economy, be it politics, be it economy, be it teaching, or be it judiciary, be it law, the social media has more than 75%.
Yes, but I will start by saying that when the Speaker of the National Assembly, in his opening statement for the current parliamentary sitting, expressed worries with the way the social media is being used by Cameroonians, I did not take him serious until recent events. In fact, I agree with him that the social media is a form of terrorism. Talking about the recent events, I have images on my phone, inbox, about the house of an elite of the Northwest set on fire, whereas that was just montage. There was the house of A.C. Rizky, who is being accused of having represented the teachers in a meeting in Yaoundé, even though he says he was there in his own capacity, representing a civil society. I saw pictures of his house being set ablaze by an angry population of the Northwest, whereas that is not true. I also have messages, particularly on Monday, saying that two people were killed by gunshots in Maifor, and that was not true. As far as I'm concerned, I know that only one person died during this strike. I know that several people are in the hospital, and that a security guard was wounded and so on, but as far as I'm concerned, I know that only one person died, but the social media talked of two people, particularly in Maifor. Then the last shocking information on the social media, which I had yesterday, is a message on WhatsApp saying that the Secretary General of the United Nations has created a commission, an ad hoc commission, to put in place modalities for a transition government in southern Cameroons. In fact, these are very dangerous issues, and I know, I can recall that just last week, and it is in the newspapers, how some three students who fidgeted with information about Boko Haram were sentenced to 10 years imprisonment each. And so I can only appeal to the population that since everybody has become a news transmitter, everybody is a journalist because of the social media, you should be careful with which information, the type of information you receive and the information that you pass across, because the consequences can be very, very grievous.
Well, the social media is trying its best to show some of the images, what is happening. But what we condemn strongly is the fact that we have lies. Images are being photoshopped and put on the internet, and they are calling it strike actions. That is what we strongly condemn. But for the images that actually happen on social media, I think it is good, so that it will help the government sit up, because they are trying to regulate the social media because they themselves are afraid of the truth.
Yeah, I want to say the social media has been doing a lot by telling the public minute by minute what is actually going on.
In fact, I can say that the social media is at the center of the discussions about the marginalization of Anglophone, both as represented by lawyers and by teachers. And I'm telling you that the social media have just come to liberate as many Anglophones as possible who have been suppressed for so many years. And you know that once people have been unrepresented for so many years, they look for a way to be represented. And the social media is where those who would have not been represented by this government are represented. And so that's how the social media is articulating the concerns of the common man, the person that the Yaounde regime does not understand, the person that people like Tanganyika don't understand that they exist. And so the social media has come to be part and parcel of people who are marginalized, who are underrepresented, and who need a voice. So the new narrative, that the social media is another new narrative that has come to change the discourse, the political discourse in Cameroon.
The handling of the recent events in the northwest and southwest regions by Cameroon's security forces may have laid bare and confirmed both national and international reports that the country's forces of law and order characteristically abuse human rights. Once more, Ranibel Sato.
It is ironic that elements of law and order can be both a major support and a major threat in a society, especially during chaotic situations or fight for general interest. A defining characteristic of a police is he or her mandate to legally use force and to deprive citizens of their liberty, thereby offering a great temptation for abuse. One of the principal rules of the police is to control crimes and to contribute to public order. Some other defining attributes of the police is that they are subject to the rule of law rather than the wishes of a powerful leader or party. They can intervene in the life of citizens only under limited and carefully controlled circumstances and is publicly accountable. In this light, therefore, the police could be seen as playing a mixed role, especially during the recent uprising in the northwest and southwest regions of the country. Inasmuch as they tried to play their role in maintaining peace and order in the two turbulent regions, there were reports of police confrontation with peaceful protesters who exercised their rights to freedom of expression, association, and peaceful assemblies according to the country's constitution. One could say the heavy deployment and in some cases harassment from the forces of law and order were intended to intimidate and frustrate citizens from freely exercising their civil rights to peacefully protest to demand a change in a non-acceptable situation. The long silence and unwavering attitude of the administration in the face of striking and disgruntled citizens could also be seen as a setback to the advancement of democracy. Some government representatives since the beginning of the lawyers and teachers strike were quoted to have openly dismissed their complaints, saying they were baseless, stating they have no problems. This attitude attracted criticism from supporters and sympathizers who seized the slightest opportunity to join in the protest. These excesses from some security and administrative officials could be blamed for the negative turn of events that led to the destruction of property, injuries, and some loss of lives. It equally projected the country to the rest of the world, which otherwise would have been resolved without any notice if it was handled with tact, dialogue, and compromise.
Ranibel Sato, in this century, such ruthless and anachronistic attitudes are strange and uncalled for, and the forces of law and order cannot pretend to be living in a different country than Cameroon. They better let such behavior go, otherwise nemesis shall cash on them. You are listening to News Extra on Foundation Radio. We are broadcasting live from Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. The city of Bamenda may be cleaner next year, 2017. The last council session of the Bamenda City Council confirmed, the, amongst others, the coming of the waste disposal company Hizakam. Lem Sandra Fomujang was part of that session and brought back this report.
Bamenda might have a different view in terms of cleanliness come 2017. This speculation sparked in as a result of the declaration made by Vincent Njindumu, government delegate to the Bamenda City Council, during the council's last session board meeting. As per the government delegate, in 2016, a lot of attention, if not most, was geared towards dirt management in the city of Bamenda, which of course made them forget other priority projects, especially the collection of taxes.
What is certain in 2017 is that we have finally introduced Isakam for the cleaning of the city with funding of about 1 billion francs. You see, in the previous year we spent a lot of time over the issue of keeping the town clean, and therefore it diverted most of our attention, and we failed to concentrate on issues like collecting taxes, following up our dues of market shares, and other issues. So this year, from 2017, now that another much more competent service is going to be there in charge of doing that, we will concentrate effort in taking care of our revenue.
Even with such declaration, the debt situation in Bamenda can still be considered a very serious issue which need lots of attention. Dirt piling has been so common and is still very common along major parts, junctions, and in front of the main food and Tarinkone markets. Bamenda city dwellers have been questioning why the Operation Clean Up campaign, which came up every Thursdays from 7 a.m. to 12 noon to keep the town clean, suddenly went out of existence. It was an opportunity for every inhabitant to participate both in personal and general hygiene. But with the death of the cleanup campaign, the town has become something we cannot really write home about. Though all hope has not been lost yet, the city council has decided to hire and make use of the Isakam services, which is a hygiene and sanitation company in charge of dirt management. Though a good mark on the population, it could pose some difficulties in terms of employment. What happens to those cleaners who were employed by the city council? Will they suddenly go unemployed, or will Isakam recruit them in their services? This, of course, could be a problem. Given that a good number of these cleaners usually went on strike because of accumulated unpaid salaries by the city council, which of course contributed to the highly dirty nature of the city, it is wished that the hygiene and sanitation company will come with a remedy. Isakam in Bamenda come 2017, as per the government delegate, is the dream of all. But we just have to watch and see with our own eyes and pray they come and stay for good as far as the cleanliness of Bamenda is considered and maintained.
Yes, Lem Sandra Fromijang, considering the work that Isakam does in other cities, including Bafoussam, Limbe, Boya, Douala and Yaoundé, we are certainly in for a cleaner and better city next year. Let's now take a step out of the country and revisit the recent American presidential elections that continue to exercise the minds of many. In the following paper, Christopher Fogwe is raising questions as to whether Trump's victory was democratic enough for America's democracy to remain a lesson and a model to the rest of the world. Here is his report.
Democracy is said to be driven by values of good rather than evil, of humanity as opposed to inhumanity, of individual freedom and rights rather than oppression, inclusion rather than exclusion. But we have also discovered of late in America that even democratic governance can also hand over power to a majority which is not driven by the values, the ethical values enumerated above. The triumph of Trumpism, a byword for incorrect conduct, misogyny, hate, racism, isolationism, anger, and defiance is sad news for America and for the world. It is an assault on American democracy. Trump's triumph has left America more divided than it was before he emerged on the political arena. The dictatorship of the determined majority has nothing to do with popular opinion or goodwill, but the actual choice that is made according to the guiding rules of the game. Democracy, relying on the strength of numbers and local rules, has fed many countries with statistically right but logically wrong outcomes. America has in Trump a man elected on the wings of sheer populism and racist propaganda. His campaign was anchored on the hate-propelled belief that the only way to make America great is to shut out Muslims, blacks, immigrants, intruding neighbors from Mexico and Latin America, and to keep America for Americans only so that they can have jobs and prosper, and not to forget the spin that America is not safe in the hands of women, whom Trump considers fit only as objects and pieces of decoration. By voting Trump, America, with its intriguing electoral college system, which robs a popular candidate on technical grounds, has deleted the Trump of America that is expected to lead the liberal global order. The manipulation and demagogic Trump has, through dirty tricks, created a revolution from which even the same party that saw him as an outsider and treated his emergence as an accident has benefited. The Republican Party owes its ascendancy into the White House and its capture of both houses to Trump. But then it can equally be said that Trump is neither Republican nor Democrat. He belongs to the party of the streets, of a racist American street motivated by a determination to reverse the misfortunes of the disappearing jobs in inner America, as well as the inability to make ends meet in most parts of the Midwest and to pay children's school fees or live decently. Trump will soon find out that the well-crafted American system of checks and balances will clip his wings, and he will sooner rather than later find out that the people who hated to see him bulldoze his way into power will want him out, or at the very least, give him a hard time of it while he is in the power. Be it as it may, presidents will continue to be voted in and out of power in America every 4 years. And if they fall short of respecting the institutions, will be brought to book according to the law. What Americans and their democracy, with all its shortcomings, do indeed teach the world is that where democracy prevails, nobody is above the law, not even Trump. I only wish our dictators here in Africa would take heed and do something about it.
Yes, Daddy Chris, I think they are already doing something about that. Can you imagine that Yahya Jammeh has conceded defeat in the Gambia's presidential election? Jammeh, who is considered as one of Africa's dictators. Lem Sandra Fomujang shall be reading the letters we received this week after this transition.
Are you online?
Yes, we have three messages in our mailbox. And the first comes from Darren Tegien of Upper Bayele, and he is not happy with the constant digging of the already bad roads in Bamenda.
News Extra. I write to talk about the Tolerance Day just celebrated. I am also aware that the target of this year's celebration had to do with those who are environmentally destabilized, sure in aspects of natural disturbances and their geographical location. Personally, I want to include some aspects such as a constant digging of our roads in Bamenda. First of all, they were the Chinese companies digging. They have not even repaired the roads properly, and Camtel has started their own digging. For how long shall we pull up and tolerate all of this? Worst of all, we are in the dry season already, and the amount of dust in town has doubled and is so alarming. A lot of things are really going wrong. When will all of this stop?
And this is just one of the reasons that pushed Mancho BBC to stage a one-man protest in the city of Bamenda. Richard Ndopu of Mancho Street is not also happy with the strike rumors clouding the country.
Greetings to you all. Cameroon for the past weeks has been in a real messy situation since the problem of the Anglophone common law lawyers started. After their peaceful demonstrations, and though intercepted by the forces of law and order, their problems have not still been solved. Now, teachers are preparing their own action too for similar reasons of marginalization. What bothers me so much is how the female AFCON will look like given all of this tension. Bad enough, it is hosted in an Anglophone town of Limbe. With all this tension in the country, would a turnout of Cameroonians in Limbe to support the Lionesses be massive? I am really scared.
Richard Ndopu, you could decide for yourself that the turnout in Limbe was not what was expected. And Lawrence Binder of Upstation laughs at the increase of fees in driving schools. That is in our last letter.
News Extra. There are certain things I hear happening in this country that really triggers my imagination. I heard on the news that driving school fees has doubled the normal fee. Why such a drastic increase? Does the increase in the fees change the type and quality of cars used in teaching? Does it change the fact that we do not even have the roads to ensure efficient and effective practical lessons? I am so disgruntled with the governance of our country. We really pray for a change.
And keep your letters coming on our regular email, radio.foundation@yahoo.com, radio.foundation@yahoo.com. You can also call us or text us on any of the following numbers, 672-53-3990 or 695-568480, and the News Extra crew shall be at your service. Wonja Leslie monitored colleagues of the print media cover news events and now has News Extra's week in retrospect.
For our press review this week, we begin with the Guardian Post newspaper, which brings out some facts to prove the marginalization of Anglophones in Cameroon. The paper records that in Biya's 34 years in power, out of the 700 ministers that have served in government, only 76 have been Anglophones. In the present 63-member government, only 6 are Anglophones. Only one Anglophone minister with portfolio out of 38. Less than 15 Anglophones out of 130 general managers of state corporations. Only 10 Anglophones out of over 130 board chairmen of state corporations. No Anglophone secretary general at the presidency, ministers of finance, territorial administration, defense, and no Anglophone general manager of Sonara since independence. No operational airport or seaport in Anglophone Cameroon. No Anglophone on the Douala Stock Exchange Board. Only 4 Anglophone Secretary Generals out of 38 ministries. No referral hospital in Anglophone Cameroon. Only 6 Anglophones of over 36 ambassadors. No English word on the franc CFA currency. Only 6 Anglophones out of 58 SDOs and only 3 Anglophone Army Generals out of 33. onto the Median newspaper. The paper wonders where Atanganji Paul, minister in charge of special duties at the presidency, will hide his head after he made a controversial statement that there is no Anglophone problem in Cameroon. The prime minister and head of government, Philemon Yang, says Atanganji Paul was speaking for himself and not for the government. Justice Minister Laurent Esso and Communications Minister Issa Chiruma Bakari have all denied any support for the statement made by Atanganji Paul. Even the Bameda people, including teachers, lawyers, the clergy, SDF Chairman Nijon Frunzi and others, have all condemned and vomited Atanganji Paul. The Eden newspaper writes that over 1 month after the Eseka train crash, 5 corpses of some victims are still in mortuaries in the capital Yaoundé unidentified. The Minister of Public Health, Andre Mamafuda, made this public, calling on families in search of relatives to contact the concerned hospitals in Yaoundé for collection and burial. The Times Journal newspaper tells us that some SDF members of parliament abandoned the current budgetary session of both houses and descended to Bamenda, where they too engaged in a protest march to demonstrate their identification with the objectives of the population. These MPs demanded a national conference for the Anglophone problem in Cameroon and that federalism is the only solution as the Anglophone problem is real. This could be seen on placards as the MPs marched along condemning the regime for failing to listen to the Anglophones and solving their problems. We end this week's press review with this feature story from the Guardian Post. Women, how can you tell if your husband is feeling disrespected? First, when you don't listen to your husband, he feels disrespected. When you complain about everything, your husband can also feel you are disrespecting him. Lastly, when you neglect your husband sexually, he feels disrespected. That was it for Press Review this week. On to next week for what the papers will have to say.
Rendezvous taken, Wunja Leslie. Here comes Lanza Vela with our weekly scoreboard. In it, he values and devaluates deeds and misdeeds of the week. And in this edition, the astuteness of the Vice Chancellor of the University of Bamenda, Yuba Professor Felicia Kenji, is contrasted with the waywardness of her University of Boya colleague, Dr. Naluba Leunga.
For our scoreboard today, we examine and grade two vice chancellors of the two English universities in Cameroon vis-à-vis the manner with which they handled the ongoing strike actions that also hit the institutions they head. At the University of Boya, serious violence erupted as forces of law and order battered and arrested protesting students in what many have called a gross violation of human rights. This once again underscored Professor Naluba Leunga's lacuna in managing crises and also projects her widely dictatorial rule that seems to be riddled with sycophancy for the regime. For failing to manage the protests of students of UB adequately, we score Professor Naluba Leunga extremely low. And while she looks deflated in our eyes, her counterpart of the University of Bamenda, Professor Theresa Kenji, finds favor. In an impeccable display of sufficient astuteness, she deployed the needed tact and diplomacy needed to contain the protest in the University of Bamenda, thereby repelling any awful acts and scenes, which called Professor Theresa Kenji extremely high.
Well, you may mock at the groaning, the toiling, and mourning of others, but take note that any evil done by man to man will be redressed, if not now, then later, if not by man, then by God. I was quoting Nigerian murder journalist Dele Giwa. Same frequency, FM 100, same radio, Foundation Radio, same time, same day for another edition. Till then, God being a helper, I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.